Blog Talk Radio.
Interesting to observe what is going on in both the economic arena of our culture and in the political arena. Along with that, there is the inherent social disorder that is afoot today. And so one recognizes that these are not separate issues. We are all of a whole, and they are part of a grand design, a grand plan, as it were, to have persons in disarray, to have them fearful, to have persons who are unable to put together what is really going on. And so I submit to you this morning that what is happening in this culture, that is, at the end of Western culture, is a grand design that has as its goal a very nefarious and very diabolic scheme. I know this because when I read the Gospels, I read that Jesus, or Jesus, entered into a world that was much similar to our own, that was in fact a precursor of our own hope. And so I'm going to be reading this morning from Matthew's Gospel. Of course, it is the first of the four Gospels of the New Testament. And I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles, or literally the nations. He shall not strive, that is, fight nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets." Notice the language, very interesting. Jesus is not a local politician, as it were. "A bruised reed he shall not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, but he sends forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the nations trust." F is the word in Greek for nation, for Gentiles, ethne. "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spoke and saw," or both spake and saw. "And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, that is Lord of the flies, or Prince of Dung, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. And if I cast out devils or demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil the good, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy that is to speak against the character of, the meaning of the word blasphemy, speak against the character of either God or man, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven the men, in the Greek, the men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world or this age, Ion, neither in the age to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how shall ye be in evil, do good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure, the thoros is the word in the Greek, bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. The word judgment in the Greek New Testament is the word crisis, K-R-I-S-I-S, and it is most certainly a Greek noun. They shall give account thereof in the day of crisis. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. This is a very powerful section of the book of Matthew. The entire document itself is a very powerful dissertation on the person of Christ. And so if one were to come to this particular document without any preconceptions, without a prejudice, or without a moral overlay to condemn it, one would learn a great deal. But alas, that type of openness and the ability to read and to discuss and to reflect upon a writing that one has heard or has a particular prejudice against before a real wrestling with its content will miss a great deal in his or her growth, that is spiritual growth. I'm speaking here about spiritual growth. See, Peter wrote that there will come a time in which false prophets would come in to deceive the people. And the deception will be such that those who would come along would make merchandise of the people. And so Peter realize this early on in this age that this would happen. And so he warned the people of God about such individuals. And so he speaks to the people of God in such a way that they would learn or understand the time in which they live. This is what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. He writes, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." And through covetousness, here we are, and through covetousness, they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Aren't people today called consumers? And that is the extent of your value in America. You are a consumer. And believe me, there are algorithms that follow your behavior, chart your behavior, know what you will spend, how much you will spend, when you will spend it, and how to get you to spend. There are evil algorithms that have been designed to get the most out of you and then have to summarily discard you. That is not my truth. That is the truth of America, Inc. It is a global organization. And let me continue. And so Peter writes, they with feigned words, F-E-I-G-N-D-E, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And then Peter goes on to give examples of from the past of God's work and what God had to do in order to destroy these systems that had become houses divided against themselves. So Peter writes in verse 3, and through covetousness, theomexia. Theomexia is a Greek word, and it is the craving, the passionate craving for more and more. Covetousness. It is condemned in the Ten Commandments. Please read Exodus chapter 20. And through covetousness, the Greek has in theomexia, in covetousness. And the word that has been translated as feigned words is the word, it is spelled P-L-A-S-T-O-I-S. It is the Greek word plastois, from which we get our word plastic. And it is a very interesting term. It means to mold as from clay. It means forged words. Please pay very close attention to what Peter is saying. Through forged words, they know how to engage your neocortex. They know a great deal about the human nervous system and how the brain works. They know how to flash images before you at the subconscious level. They know how to use music as an overlay, and then beneath that music, embed thoughts and ideas into your mind. I know it's counterintuitive to believe that, but nevertheless, it is true. It is real. So they know how to move your behavior in a way that is pleasing to them. So last night on television, there was this commercial, and it was a holiday commercial. This individual goes up to the door opens, there's this warm, cute little puppy that is used to draw us in. And then, in the next immediate image, another male individual comes up to the door, and they engage in a kiss and a greeting. So you see what is used. You see the manipulation of images. And before you can react, the image is already there. It has been given to you. You have been prepared, as it were, for this. It is the normalization of that which is not normal. Ephesians 6, Paul talks about the armor of God that has been vouchsafed to each believer. And he says that, or he writes that we have the helmet of salvation, which protects our thought life. You and I cannot be in this age, in this world, with this manipulative tactics, which are designed to supplant what God is doing. We need the helmet of salvation to protect our thought life. That is, to protect us against the fiery missiles in the group of the enemy as he seeks to compromise and to overthrow what God is doing in our lives. See, the enemy knows the power of God and what God has prepared for those who love him. And so we have this assault on family. It is shameless. And it is most certainly vile. It is to show us images that invite us to accept that which God has said is unacceptable in the kingdom of God. So God has told us what is right and what we should do and how we should then live. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words or plastic words or forged words make merchandise. The word here in the Greek is emporium. Emporium, it means to buy and sell. It means to market. They will market you. Now notice. Make merchandise of you. It is imperative to understand what Peter is saying. And so, if one accepts the old culture out of which we were saved, we are told that we are out of God as a source. We're out of God as a source. That means that when one has been born anew, he is now of the kingdom, or he or she is now of the kingdom of God. The old things, the old worn out things have passed away. Now, most certainly there are believers, there are believing ones who most definitely are saved, and yet they walk around with the grave clothes of the old life. And this is why when Jesus resuscitated Lazarus, excuse me, he said, loosen and let him go. Lazarus was clothed in the old grave cloth, grave clothes, that is, of the past. We're to shed, we're to put away, we're to be rid of the old. Because we are to put on Christ. We are to adorn Christ. He is now our garment. We are to put him on as a garment. The Holy Spirit now lives within our hearts. We are to grow up in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So there is this inward work that God has done and is doing, and it is called sanctification. There is positional sanctification, and then there is practical sanctification that should be going on in the believer's life as he or she is growing. And there is ultimate or final sanctification when we shall be with him. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin. And we shall be saved, future perfect, from the presence of sin. See, God has already worked this out. And according to Romans 8, we are, and those whom we call, he glorify. He glorify. And so in the mind of God, in eternity, this thing is over. It is completed. But for us in time, we are in this spiritual warfare. And the enemy does want to have our homes, to have our houses, as it were, in disarray, in spiritual disarray. He wants us to be religious. And there's nothing in the New Testament that says that God has called us to be religious. He wants us to be prejudiced. And there's nothing in the New Testament that says that God has called us to be prejudiced, except against sin and those who are destructive of the work of God in our lives. Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them by what they do. Observe carefully what people do, and it will give you an understanding of who they are. Stop listening to the words and watch the actions. Watch the actions. It is imperative that we give up this Western consciousness, which no longer serves us, and we take on the consciousness that will keep us grounded in reality, that is, concrete awareness, so that we will have a substantive view to hold us and to keep us, so that we will not be swept away and become the merchandise of forged words. They will make merchandise of you. You see, everything that you and I need to know and to understand about the cosmic system has been given to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Satan, that is the adversary, is called the God, small G-O-D, the God of this ion, the God of this age. And if you read the book of Revelation, read the letters to the churches in Asia Minor, and you will see where Satan is. He is not in the lower part of the earth. He does not have a throne in Hades or hell. It's not in the Bible. His throne, we see where he places his throne in church history, where he is among the professed people of God. And his actions are to subvert, to twist, to distort, to malign, to overthrow, and to destroy the work of God. And so, if you carefully note what the leaders said about the person of Jesus. Now, I purposely didn't read verse 14 of Matthew chapter 12, and I'm going to read that now. And so, Jesus, in his public ministry, healed people, and then there is this gentleman, this man in verse 13 of Matthew 12, and Jesus said to the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like the other. And Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath day. Verse 14, we have the reaction of the entrenched political, religious, political system against Jesus. This is what verse 14 reads. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And charged them that they should not make him known. Now we see the sense of this verse. He charged them not to make him known because of the growing political pressure against his ministry. The entrenched political system needed to be rid of him. Please note that in every age, this is a constant. This is a constant. In some way, and I respect him a great deal, Dr. Martin Luther King was rather naive, believing that this particular system would reach the point where individuals would be merely or evaluated for the content of their character. And he had not, or he was unwilling, he was a very intelligent man, unwilling to see the exact nature of what the system was about, and who controlled this particular worldview. He was an astonishing social theologian. But when looking at what is going on here, we see what Jesus confronted and what he faced. Now, Dr. Martin Luther King faced a great deal of opposition, and what he faced required a great deal of courage and fortitude. Look at what is going on here. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. That is, he will not be a local politician, a bruised reed, which means to crush or to shatter. It speaks persons who are weak. He shall not break, that is, to rend in pieces, as smoking flax, that is, the word here means to slowly consume. It also speaks of persons who have been made and who have been harmed or tortured. And the word here means people who are ruined by suffering or self-torture. Tribos is the word for bruised. And so it also means a worn track, people who are worn down and worn out. The word of God has been given to us on this day so that we might come to God with hope, with knowing that he is the God of salvation. God first wants to restore wholeness to your heart and to my heart through his word, through his son. God will give you wholeness and give you purpose and give you a life that is wonderful. Please go to him, please read his word, and you will find eternal life therein through Jesus Christ our Lord. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you.